Good afternoon. We'll call the Committee on Environmental Natural Resources to order Thursday, March 17th.
You don't even dare laugh.
Welcome, members. Today, as you know, we're going to be doing laid out our budget here. All members have gone through this previously, both the majority and the minority this morning. And what we're going to do here is we're going to go through the spreadsheet. We're going to have the fiscal folks do that, and we're going to ask questions after each section. So it won't be as confusing to have to go back, because as you can see, we've got a lot of line items here, and hopefully that'll help out. On Tuesday, the intentions are the amendments will start Tuesday, and hopefully we'll be able to get that bill done on Tuesday. But expect a little bit of overtime, depending upon how many amendments people have. I have no feel for that, but you can expect some extra time on Tuesday because we'd like to get it done by then. So with that, I'd like to start out with just a couple points here with regards to considering the budget and working on it. We tried to keep the cuts fair across the board at an average of about 15%, minus 15% general fund reduction, while prioritizing the DNR enforcement, firefighting, and grants to local governments through Bowser. We funded the governor's four priorities: CWDA, aquatic invasive species, wildlife sulfate toxicity testing, and the Coon Rapids Dam. Actually did that without raising taxes or fees. At least at this point, that's been our objective. So we reduced the general fund for the division by 50%, 15% overall. And overall, the division had less than a 5% reduction. So with that, members, we'll start out. Mr. Mueller.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we'll all work off the, I believe it's a 7-page spreadsheet here. It's a double-sided one. The way this spreadsheet works, like, again, many of you have been through it already, but I'm showing the columns here I'm showing is Feb forecasts 10 and 11. Basically, that column is the current year, current biennium spending. Next shows Gov budget 12 and 13, and under that are change items that are listed by agency and then divided by fund. And then the last column is Senate, again, change items. And then there's some columns on the end showing Senate minus forecast, percent change. And then the very far right column is the Senate minus Gov, showing the difference between the Senate proposal and the governor's proposal. And that very far right column, if it's a negative, that means the Senate has a bigger reduction than the governor.
Mr. Mueller, if I might, just for a point of clarity, and I think for the rest of the members, when we refer to lines, it's probably just as easy to start on the numbers. And if they have any questions on those numbers, that way members can follow it along a little quicker. Thank you.
Right. So, Mr. Chairman and committee, the start out with the PCA, Pollution Control Agency. You'll look on line 13. Their total base budget for 12 and 13 is $310.3 million, which their base budget is actually down from the current year forecast, which is 345. So their base budget is actually lower than their current spending. And a lot of that is because there's one-time money in their existing, the current biennium funding. But going under change items, for the most part, the Senate has some additional change items here, and a lot of these are the Senate applying a 15% sort of across-the-board general fund reduction to a lot of programs, or otherwise where the governor had a general fund reduction that was maybe bigger. Sometimes the reduction might be a little bit bigger. Take the same reduction as the governor for community technical assistance, clean water partnership grants. The reduction is a little bit bigger than the governor here. That's a 15% reduction. The next line items there are all 15% reductions to various programs in the water portion of PCA. You'll see the governor funded the wild rice testing, $1.5 million out of the general fund. The Senate proposal is not doing that later on in the bill and not on this spreadsheet, but that is being funded out of the Environmental Trust Fund. Health and biomonitoring reduction on line 23 is 100% general fund reduction for that part of PCA. The next EA cross multimedia reductions is a little bit higher than the governor, and then the last admin reduction is about a 50% reduction of general fund reduction to the PCA. So it's about a 30% reduction to PCA's general fund. Note, if you look above, PCA's general fund is $17 million out of a $310 million budget. So the general fund is a pretty small portion of their overall budget. So that's $5.16 million reduction PCA general fund. Down next category, starting at line 29, is changes within the environmental fund. The first item is just a maintenance of effort. We had to sometimes increase the appropriation of the environmental fund for air permitting. That was in the governor's proposal. Right now, we're not showing any money dealing with the EQB transfer. We're still kind of waiting to see what Senator Perry's state government budget proposal is and how he deals with that, but we can always come back to that. And if so, that's environmental fund money. Electronic waste extension, that was in the Gov's bill for $315,000 per year. And then there's a couple Senate-only items. There's $250,000 to do the study that was in Senator Peterson's Senate File 196. This is to look over all the different water rules and different agencies, and this would cover the cost for the PCA and the admin for actually doing the study, but not paying for all the employees from other agencies that would come and be on the task force or work group or whatever. The next one is $400,000 each year in 12 and 13, but it would be one-time money to do the feedlot permitting. And then the governor had a Metro Solid Landfill fee expansion that this is not doing. So a total new spending out of the environmental fund is $2.18 million. Lastly, on the remediation fund, you'll see lines 40 and 41 deal with the extension of the petroleum tank cleanup fee that is Senator Gerlach bill that came through here the other day. The actual extension of that program will be carried in the Commerce budget bill, but when that happens, money flows through in here too. Okay. When that happens, the PCA gets some money in the remediation fund. From that. That's about, and then the PCA had offered up some voluntary investigation and cleanup reductions of $1.8 million, and we're carrying that also. So it's a total new spending out of the remediation fund of $8.236 million. The last items for PCA, there's a couple small little fee modifications that the governor had proposed, one dealing with wastewater operator certification. There's a fee increase tied to this $27,000 per year spending increase, and also a landfill financial assurance review. Those are both governor's items. So bottom line for the PCA, you'll see on line 57, is actual spending increase of $5.33 million. Most of that is because of the new money coming in from the petrol fund, and a $5.16 million general fund reduction, which is a 30% reduction of their general fund. The next page, the top portion, is the fee changes for PCA. The first item there is a proposal that will help with our general fund target. It's moving half of the environmental penalties that currently go in the environmental fund over to the general fund. So this will be a net gain to the general fund of $1.5 million, $538 million, and a little bit of loss, and net loss to the environmental fund of the same amount. Again, this helps meet our $36 million general fund target. The governor, again, had proposed extending that Metro landfill fee expansion. We're not doing that. Line number 64 is from the Center Rosenville. It has a small loss of revenue of $40,000 per year to the Environmental Fund. The next two lines, 65 and 66, deal with currently the PCA transfers in the current biennium, the PCA transfers $40 million from the Environmental Fund to the Remediation Fund. Under the Gov's budget and under the current forecast, that was scheduled to go all the way up to $47.6 million. What this does is caps it at $42 million transfer between the Environmental Fund and Remediation Fund. We do this to keep the Environmental Fund in the black and not go in the red going into the fiscal year 12 and 13 and beyond. But this is something that we've done in the current biennium, but this actually increases the amount that is being transferred over. The last, again, you see there's the second part of the Metro Landfill fee that we're not doing, and then the last two items, again, are those small fee and changes dealing that were in the governor's bill dealing with the landfill assurance and wastewater operator. So total fee changes for the PCA is actually down a little bit, minus $6,000, compared to the governor was going up by about $3 million. So that is it for PCA.
Members, any questions for this section?
Okay. Next, we have the DNR. Again, you can see their base budget on line 81. The current biennium, they're spending $66.53 million when you count all funds. $183.3 million of that is general fund. But when you look at their base budget for 12 and 13, you can see that on line 81, it's about $646.58 million. So again, their base budget is actually lower than the current biennium spending. Below that, you'll see all the general fund change items. The first four lines there are all pretty much 15% reductions in the areas of lands and minerals management and starting in eco and waters. So those are all 15% reductions to general fund spending. You'll see lines 88 and 89, it's kind of moving or more specifying that some of the general fund dollars that's going for invasive species go more for water invasive species. It's kind of a reduction to land and an increase for water. The next item, water management, the $3.1 million reduction is a 15% reduction. Next, you'll see there's on line 91 from a Center Stump bill. It's a reimbursement for a Red River State Rec area. It's just a one-time reimbursement. The next three items are areas where the governor had reductions, but the Senate is showing no reductions to the Red River Mediation and Mississippi Headwaters and the Leech Lake part of that program. The governor had reductions in that area, and the Senate has no reductions. The next big one is the governor had proposed moving $10 million out of the general fund for water fees and moving that over to the Natural Resources Fund. So line 96 shows that $10 million reduction. That isn't a cut. That's more of a moving money over to the Natural Resources Fund. And that was in the governor's bill. The next three levels are all in the forestry area. These are all general fund reductions that were also proposed in the governor's bill, and these are at the same level. The next item is parks and trails reduction, general fund reduction. The $6.1 million reduction in this bill is a 15% reduction to parks and trails. Again, this is the area of DNR that's heavily funded by the general fund. The next item is the Lake County ATV trail, the bill that we heard from Senator Bach the other day. It's $100,000 one time. The next two items are, one is just moving the forest campground fees from the general fund over the natural resources fund, so that $395,000 there isn't a cut. It's just moving money from one fund to another. The prairie wetlands reduction is a reduction. That was at governor's bill. The next item, the governor had proposed funding bovine TB and chronic wasting disease monitoring at $1.95 million out of the general fund, and this is not funding it out of the general fund. Later on, when we go through the LCCMR part of the bill, there is appropriation for this in that part of the bill. Then the general fund operating reduction is the same level as the governor's, $1.268 million. So the general fund reduction to the DNR, 29.5. I remember 10.3 of that is this actually moving money between one fund to another. It says a 16.9% reduction, but if you factor out the moving of the money between funds, it's actually about 11% general fund reduction to the DNR. Next page, we start the changes within the Natural Resources Fund. There are a lot of change items here, mostly because either the governor had a lot of changes that require a lot of tracking, and there's a lot of different accounts in the Natural Resources Fund. But I'll go through them as quick as I can. The governor had proposed in a number of places changing direct appropriations to statutory appropriations. So on line 110 and 111, and there's a couple other ones I'll note as I go through here, where you see a negative and then the same amount as a positive, that's just showing where the governor was proposing to change these appropriations from statutory or from direct to statutory. And the Senate proposal is not doing any of those switches. On line 112, this was not in the governor's bill, and this looks like a cut to out of a couple years ago. We established a mining administrative account that had fees going into it, and then it would pay back to the DNR. After we established that account, the tax committee got rid of one of the fees and replaced it with general fund with one-time money. So this sort of left a hole. This is more of an accounting issue here that we can't appropriate the amount of money that's in the base. This is probably something that should have been in the governor's bill. It's more of a fix of a current appropriation. Basically, there's not the money in this account to actually appropriate the level that they want. So we have to show it as a negative here. Line 113 is the moving of the water fees from the general fund to the natural resources fund. So that's not an increase. That's just a fund swap. Line 114 is where the governor had proposed spending new money for invasive species using boat fees and of $7.9 million. We're not doing that proposal, but we're getting money into the same area through a couple of different ways. You'll see on line 115, the Senate's increasing their appropriation to the out of the current invasive species account by $750,000 per year. The governor had proposed a proposal out of the water rec account on line 116 to maintain monitoring the lake levels. This was $500,000 per year. And this was partly predicated too on raising some other fees that were going into the water rec account that we're not doing in this bill, so we're not able to do this proposal. The forest roads ATV, the governor proposed $200,000 per year for forest roads coming out of the ATV account. This does it at a lower level, and it actually begins with a transfer out of money out of a off-highway vehicle damage account that's we'll use show later on in when we get to enforcement, but we're moving $200,000 out of that damage account over to the ATV account and then appropriating it to forestry. So it's a little bit different than what the governor was proposing, but at a lesser amount. Line 118 deals with the Senator Peterson bill, where the closure of the state nurseries, and this appropriates the money to cover the cost of the FTEs. It's about $1 million per year. This was actually and there's $1 million going into the forestry account after the sale of the land and assets from the nurseries to pay for this. Lines 119 through 121, the governor was proposing changing a direct appropriation out of the FMIA account, the Forest Management Investment Account, to a statutory, plus increasing the appropriation by $2 million per year. We're not changing the appropriation, but we are showing the $2 million per year increase out of the FMIA account. And I'll note that we'll probably make this one time just to make sure that the account stays in the black ongoing and have to come back to it next biennium again. The $2 million per year increase, we'll make that one time. The next two items, the forest easement account, this comes from taking an existing appropriation out of the Outdoor Heritage Fund, putting it into account, and then earning interest off it and using that interest for cost of easements. This was in the governor's proposal. The next one is a part of the, again, another fund swap, moving money from the general fund to the Natural Resources Fund, the forest campground fees. The next two lines there, 124 and 125, again, was the governor's proposal of changing a direct appropriation to a statutory appropriation, and this is not doing that. As part of that proposal, the governor had proposed an extra $750,000 from the dedicated parks account to be appropriated back out to the state parks. And what the Senate is showing here is actually an increase over that by doing $1 million increase per year instead of $750,000 that the governor had proposed. Now, this is all derived from parks generating their own fees. It goes into account, and we just need to appropriate it back out to them. The governor was proposing $1 million per year out of the water access account for invasive species. We're doing something similar. We're actually appropriating it later out of the heritage enhancement account in the Game and Fish Fund for water access sites. So we're just doing it out of a different account. The next two items are some increased appropriations out of dedicated lottery and lieu accounts, one's state parks and one's local parks. The state park one, I have a little bit less than the governor there just because it looked like at the level the governor was appropriating it was sort of out of whack for what the revenues coming into that account. And then same thing for the snowmobile grant and aid increase. The governor had appropriated $200,000 per year increase out of that dedicated account, and that looked like it was a little bit unsustainable. So I reduced that down to $100,000 per year. Line 132 is from the Senator, or Senate File 567, Senator Miller. This is a one-time cost to set up the ELS system to be able to issue the OHV non-resident trail passes. And then later on, I show a revenue coming in for that. So it's $25,000 one-time cost, and that comes out of that account. There's a governor proposal to increase money for ATV trails. That comes out of the ATV account, $300,000 per year. I'm showing doing that, but not doing the $100,000 per year for maps, map for ATV mapping. The ATV account, too, it seems like the governor had a lot of spending in there that didn't look like it was sustainable within the account and showed the account going into the red. So we're doing a little bit less spending out of the ATV account than what the governor's doing. The next items, lines 135 all the way down to 142 are all small amount increases coming from special dedicated accounts that would go to the Division of Enforcement. Most of these are all originally in the Gov's bill. Most of the Senate proposals here are pretty much at the same level or maybe a little bit lower, depending on if those increases were sustainable within those accounts. And then the last items there on line 143 through 147, was the governor's proposal to charge or to appropriate money from some of these dedicated accounts back to operations, and the Senate is not doing that. So it's a net, the increase from the Natural Resources Fund is $20.5 million for the Senate. Again, $10 million of that is essentially a funding swap, so the net increase is about $10.5 million from the Natural Resources Fund. The last page here is changes from the Game and Fish Fund to the DNR. The first item we have is $1 million per year for invasive species. This will go for water access sites. So this is similar to what the governor is proposing. We're just funding it out of a different account. The governor had also proposed $1 million per year out of the Heritage Enhancement account. Now, again, this is an account that is within the Game and Fish Fund that gets its money from the lottery, in lieu of sales tax. The governor had proposed $1 million per year out of that account for plant mappings in the forest, native plant mappings, and reduce that down to $650 per year, and that was more just to keep the balance in the account. Bovine TB and heritage account, again, that's zero here because we're funding that out of the Environment Trust Fund. You see a one-time appropriation of $200,000 for Let's Go Fishing. This is a program that's been carried in the bill in the past couple bienniums, usually with one-time funding. So this continues the one-time funding for this program at $200,000. The Lamprey Pass acquisition, this is was in the Gov's bill. This is money out of the Game and Fish Fund that has been sort of set aside actually for this purchase. The next two items deal with line 157 and 158, are tied to the governor increasing hunting and fishing license. So he was able to generate a lot more spending here for that. The Senate is not changing any hunting and fishing license. Line 159 and 160, again, the governor was proposing to take all the dedicated sort of stamp accounts like the waterfowl stamp and turkey stamp accounts and changing them all from direct appropriations to statutory, and this proposal is not doing that. But we would have to reduce that line where the $528,000 reduction per year is. That's an accumulation of a bunch of small changes out of those dedicated accounts, some small increases and some small decreases just to keep those accounts from going in the red. And it's the same level as funding that the governor had proposed. Again, on line 161 and 162, we're again tied to the increase in hunting and fishing licenses that were in the governor's bill. And this would be costs that would go to enforcement. The Senate is not carrying those because we're not increasing the hunting and fishing fees. The last couple are some money, extra money for enforcement that would come from, that were also in the Gov's bill, a little bit of money out of the Heritage Enhancement account. And there's currently $135,000 per year. This is money we get I forget where the surcharge comes from, but it comes in the Game and Fish Fund and just isn't appropriated, so we got appropriated out. That was also in the Gov's bill. So the net increase from the Game and Fish Fund is $3.497 million. So if you look at the total funding for DNR, they're at $641.1 million, which is counting all funds, which is a $5.4 million reduction from the base, or a less than 1% reduction from the base when you count all funds. And the $29.5 million general fund reduction. Again, some of that is a funding swap. It looks like a 16.9% general fund reduction, but if you take away the swap in funds, it's about 11% general fund reduction. The last part of DNR's budget here, you'll see these are revenue changes or fee changes. A lot of these are just moving money between funds or accounts. The first one is moving the camp Forest campground fees from the general fund. Then you see down on the bottom, it shows up as a positive to the natural resources fund. Same for the water fees on line 184 and then on line 195. Then you'll see on line 185 is the revenue that we get that would be realized from selling off the land and the assets of the state nurseries. The way the bill would work is the first $1 million gets deposited in the FMIA, the Forest Management Investment Account, and you'll see that on line 189, and then the remaining amount would get deposited into the general fund, estimated to be about $3.6 million. The next one that I'm showing here in the revenue area is the governor had a proposal to assess forestry cost to parts of the game and fish fund. Usually this is when they do forest work on WMAs. And I'm showing that here as a transfer between accounts just to show that on a spreadsheet somewhere that this is happening. But this was part of the governor's proposal for fully assessing cost of their forestry division across to the areas where they're actually performing the work. The next one on lines 190 and 191, it's a continuation of a, currently there's a, or in the current biennium, there's a transfer of about $725,000 per year out of the water rec account to the invasive species account. And that was set to expire just because it was kind of put in as a trial, on a trial basis to see if other funding sources couldn't be realized. And since there's no other funding source for the invasive species account, we're continuing that transfer and upping it to $1 million per year. Now, this is genuine. The water rec account money is generated by boat fees and gas, the part of gas tax paid by boats and everything. So boaters generate a lot of this money anyway, so it makes sense to move it into the to the invasive species account. The next one, line 192, is the revenue produced from Senator Miller's Senate File 567. It's $4,000 the first year, $8,000 afterwards. Again, the governor had proposed on line 193 to increase the fees for when people apply pesticides and other weed management on their lakeshore. That was going to generate $700,000 per year in the water rec account. This bill's not doing that. Then the governor had proposed another fee increase on boats that would go into the invasive species account of $7.5 million. This bill's not doing that. The last couple ones here are, again, fund swaps of the $10 million of water for water fees. The $30,000 per year was in the – that's the amount of interest generated by taking that one-time appropriation from the Outdoor Heritage Fund and dedicating that amount towards easements. And the last one is also just a fund swap. So the $4.6 million here in the Senate column of new fees, basically all that is – almost all that is money from the sale of the state nursery. So that's all pretty much one-time money. 3.6 is money going to the general fund. 1 million is to the forestry account. So other than that, there's basically no other fee increases through DNR in this bill. So that is it for DNR.
Members, any questions? I have one. Line 157 and 161.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain the difference to the members? It's a little confusing.
Mr. Chairman, line 157 was money that was going back into the Division of Fish and Wildlife, and then 161, they're both generated from the hunting and fishing license increase. Just under the, when you do that, some of the money goes back to the Division of Fish and Wildlife, and some goes to the Division of Enforcement.
Okay. Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just a question on the Heritage account. I thought we were looking at doing that after this budget, and are we doing them together?
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, that is a totally different. There's This is a different account within the Game and Fish Fund. Okay. Yes, this is the one we talked about earlier today.
Okay. Looking at here.
We are doing those separate. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe someday we could rename them better. So.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, there's no appropriations in this bill from any of the constitutional dedicated funds from the sales tax. So is that DNR?
If no other questions, please move on.
Mr. Chairman and members, on to page 5. The rest of the agencies will go much quicker. Next, we have Metro Parks. The governor had proposed a $2.856 million general fund reduction, which is a 40% reduction to Metro Parks. This is the Senate here has a 15% reduction, which is just a little bit over $1 million reduction. But the Senate, we're also appropriating some money that's in the dedicated Metro Parks lottery and lieu account. So this is money set aside actually for Metro Parks. And the lottery accounts are generating a little bit more money looking ahead. So we're able to appropriate a little bit more money, $300,000 per year out of that account back to Metro Parks. You'll see above on line 203 the base amount that they're getting from the lottery and lieu account. A little bit, $5.3 million. So this would bring it up to $5.6 million. So they're getting a lot more of their money out of this dedicated lottery in lieu account than from the general fund already. So their increase total for the agency, or decrease, is $470,000, or about a 2.6% decrease when you count all funds. Or if you just look at the general fund reduction, it's $1 million, a little over $1 million, and that's 15%. The Conservation Corps... This deletes their general fund appropriation to $910,000, but keeps their natural resources fund appropriation of $980,000. Next, we get on to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Again, they have a total base budget of about $42.8 million. About $28 million of that is general fund. The change items listed there are all general fund reductions. For the most part, for the grant programs, they're either somewhere in the range between a 5% and 6% reduction to the grant programs and about a 15% reduction to their admin costs. But also on lines 251 through 253, through the governor's budget, they had recommended elimination of some of their pass-through money for the Red River Basin Board, the Minnesota River Joint Powers Board, the Area 2 Floodplain Board, and this proposal has no reduction of funding to that, to any of those entities. The next couple items were reductions that were in the gov's bill, and that's pass-through money for... Wetland Conservation Act monitoring. And then the last items there are, like I said, if they're related to admin, they're about a 15% cut, and if it's related to a grant program, it's in the range of a 5 to 6% cut. So the total reduction to Bowser, $2.722 million, is a 9.7% general fund reduction. Or a total reduction to the agency of a little over 6%. You'll see that on the top of the next page. The last page, Minnesota Zoo. The general fund reduction of $1.87 million is a 15% reduction. Also, in the governor's budget, all the Minnesota Zoo's fee revenue that they generate from admissions and all their other internal sales actually get counted through the state special revenue fund. So within the governor's budget, the zoo is showing an increase in fees and other revenues of $283 million per year. And I'm carrying that over, just showing that they were going to increase revenues under the governor's budget and would do it still here. So you'll see, when you factor that in, the total cut to the zoo, when you count all their funds, is $1.3 million, or about just under 3% cut when you count all their funds, and a 15% cut to their general fund, $1.8 million. Looking at, so that's it for the agency by agency, but I'll quickly go through lines 300 and 301, which is sort of the total spending for the whole division when you count all funds. You'll see it's a little over $1 billion, $1,059,592,000, which compared to the base is a $5.5 million reduction, or less than 1%. It's a 0.5% reduction compared to their base spending. But if you look at it compared to the current biennium spending, it is a they were spending $1.125 billion in the current biennium. So there was a number of one-time spending going on in the current biennium. So a biennium-to-biennium comparison, it's a drop of about $66 million. But when you compare it to the base budget for all these agencies, it's only a reduction of $5.5 million. The last lines here on page 6 is just sort of a summary of just the general fund spending for each agency, and you can see that the reductions there. And then how we get to our target. It's basically we have about $5.1 million in new revenue coming into the general fund, and most of that is from the moving of some of the environmental fees into the general fund. That generates about $1.5 million, and then $3.6 million for the sale of the nurseries. And then there's a net cut of about $30.8 million of general fund actual reductions when you factor out all the swaps. So that's how we get to our $36 million net general fund reduction. There's about $5.1 million of revenue and about a little over close to $31 million of net reductions in the general fund. And the last page is just a summary of the revenue changes from all funds across all agencies. It shows $5.2 million there of net revenue increases on the Senate. Again, 4.6 of that is one time due to the sale of the nurseries. Another $566,000 of that is money from the Minnesota Zoo's fees that we're tracking here. So the net increase of all other fees in the bills is $66,000. That's it.
Members, any questions? Also, should be noted today we're not going to take any testimony. We'll do that when we do our amendment starting on Tuesday. But if you have any questions from there, we're going to move into the bill itself. And seeing none, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chair, before I begin, I just wanted to clarify that there will be a few differences in the bill and the spreadsheet. We'll reconcile those between now and next Tuesday. I will point those out where they occur. Again, the spreadsheet will drive how the money works. The first page of the bill is just basically the summary of appropriations that will have totals in there next time. If you look at Section 2, that's just a boilerplate language for how the appropriations work. You can see on also, then we get into the Pollution Control Agency. We've got the Clean Water Partnership as a bottom rider. That's, again, a base rider starting on 2.35. And all the riders on page 3 are base riders. We've got, the Clean Water Partnership. You've got the SSTS Administration and Grants, the County Feedlot Program, assessment and monitoring, and then new technology review for SSTS systems. Those are all base riders that have been carried for a number of years in this area. If you look for the top of page 4, the first rider is new, and it's related to the NPDES changes in Section 45. Mr. Mueller mentioned that when he's going through the spreadsheet, the money from the environmental fund for that purpose. And again, we'll need to make sure that says environmental fund. On 4.5 to 4.9, again, that's from the environmental fund for the water management study required in this article. That was, again, Senator Peterson's bill, Senate File 196. 4.10 to 4.17 is a base rider. Deals with extension of contracts and grants. We've carried that for a number of years also. in subdivision 3 under air, those are just base riders for the small business environment improvement loan account for the monitoring program and for the ambient air for hazardous pollutants in the metropolitan area. That's, again, a base appropriation. Going on to page 5, under land, the rider on 5.7 to 5.21, that's a base rider dealing with Superfund that basically gives the agency a statutory appropriation for money from the Superfund. And then also the Petroleum Tank Fund is a base rider on 5.22 to 5.26. 5.27, that's money from the remediation fund to go to private water supply monitoring and health assessment. That's, again, a base rider that we've carried for a number of years to the Department of Health. Moving on to page 6, we have the Environmental Assistance and Cross Media. The first rider, the SCORE block grants, that's the Select Committee on Recycling and the Environment block grants, going on since 1989. The second rider is a base rider, 6.9. That's also for environmental assistance grants. And then on 6.17 to 6.22, this just started in 2009, and it deals with harmful chemicals and products. And this is this was in the governor's recommendation, but again, this program did start in 2009 legislation. The rider on 6.23 to 6.26 should not be there. You'll see another rider that's just like it on 6.32 to 6.35, so we can delete the one, the earlier rider. 6.27 to 6.31, now this is if the Environmental Quality Board is transferred, this would be a rider that would accomplish that. Mr. Mueller mentioned we don't have that in the spreadsheet right now. If it does happen, it'll remain in the bill. If it doesn't, it'll be taken out. So just to make sure people know that. And again, the 6.32 to 6.35, that's dealing, we're transferring from a statutory appropriation to a direct appropriation for waste recycling. And that was in the governor's budget. And then on page 7, the top rider is the Metropolitan Landfill Fee, the money that goes comes from that. The next rider, starting on 7.7, that's basically another one of extension of grants and loans. Apparently, Section 16.8.28 of the statutes creates some problems for some of these programs when they get the money encumbered in time, but it's difficult to get it out the door in time before time runs out on it. So on 7.21 to 7.25, that's a base rider in the PCA. And then we'll move to natural resources. And we'll start on page 8. These are base riders dealing with the Iron Ore Cooperative Research and the Minerals Cooperative Environmental Research. The first two riders. The third rider is another base one. That's the money from the minerals management account that goes for this purpose. The bottom rider is again, this is money from the state forest suspense account. That's for the school trust lands. It's a base rider we've been carrying for a few years now, and it deals with allowing use of that money to basically accelerate land exchanges, land sales, and commercial leasing of school trust lands to basically make more money for the school trust. Subdivision 3 in Ecological and Water Resources. The first rider is a non-game wildlife account. That's a base rider. The second rider is a heritage enhancement account. And again, this is lottery and lieu money that's put into the Game and Fish Fund. It's titled under an account called the Heritage Enhancement Account. And this is also a base rider money from that. The next rider is also a base rider from the Invasive Species account, starting at 9.32. And ends on 10.5. And then we've got a new one based on the spreadsheet of 10.6 to 10.10 that basically is transferring money from the Heritage Enhancement account, the Game and Fish Fund, to the Invasive Species account. On 10.11 to 10.20, that's a base rider dealing with Red River remediation. 10.21 to 10.26 is a base rider for Mississippi Headwaters Board. And then 10.27 to 10.31 is a base rider for the Leech Lake portion of the Mississippi Headwaters Board. The money goes directly to them. Then we start forest management in Subdivision 4. The first rider is the emergency firefighting suppression costs. That's the base rider where we have a set amount that we know they're going to spend over 2 years is directly appropriated. And then if they need additional money, this contains the open appropriation that allows them to do that. You'll see in 11.13 to 11.26, you'll see the reporting requirements for when they use that open appropriation to pay for firefighting costs incurred in reimbursements. And then the last two riders are also base riders. One is just the money from the Forest Management Investment Account. The other on 11.33 is the money that goes to the Forest Resources Council for their activities. On 12.3 to 12.6, we have the governor's recommendation for the minimum maintenance roads from the ATV account. And then 12.7 to 12.11 is the governor's rec for the maintaining the ecological classification system program. On, then we'll go into parks and trails management. The first one is a base rider, water recreation account for public water accesses. The second one is, hopefully this will be the last time, this appropriation has been carried forward, as you can see, a number of years since 2003, and they want it carried forward one more year for the Mississippi Whitewater Park. And Mr. Chair, then the next one on 12.31 is a base rider for State Park Trail and Recreation Areas, and there's some money beginning in 2009 that is also being transferred over to Explore Minnesota to help with advertising. And this is all money coming from the lottery in lieu. And then, Mr. Chair, we've got the snowmobile trails enforcement from the snowmobile account, and the next rider on 13.5, go to 13.14, that's a base rider from the off-highway vehicle accounts. All three of them participate in that. And then we have another base rider dealing with state trail operations from the lottery in lieu account on 13.24 to 13.29. 13.30 and so on. That's, again, a base rider to local units of government. It's basically the lottery in lieu for the local trail lands. The next rider is basically, I think Mr. Mueller went through this. The way the bill works right now is that the off-highway vehicle damage account will be repealed, and the some of the money is going to go for forest roads, and some of the money will be going for appropriated for conservation officer training. And so that's basically, it's a modified version of what the governor's rec was. I think the governor was leaving some money in that account. 14.10 to 14.19, Mr. Mueller mentioned, I think it was $43,000. This is from Senate File 767, Senator Stumpf, to reimburse East Grand Forks for the city's costs. 14.20 to 14.24 is a modified version of the Bach bill we heard the other day, Senate File 256. Basically, it's going to be a pass-through grant to Lake County for that regional ATV trail. And then we'll get into Fish and Wildlife. And the first rider is for Gray Wolf Research, is a base rider we've been carrying for a while. The second one is for Wolf Management out of the Game and Fish Fund. It's a base rider. The next one is a... these are all now based that we're going to get a number of them here that are all related to kind of stamp and surcharge accounts. The wildlife acquisition surcharge, or the small game surcharge is commonly referred, is the first one at 15.4. 15.10, that's actually from the heritage account that's the lottery and lieu money that's going to Fish and Wildlife. And then we've got the critical habitat private sector matching account to publicize the critical habitat plates on 15.19. And now I guess here we're going to get to all the stamp accounts. You get the trout and salmon stamp account. Then the next one is the deer management account on 15.30. And then if we move on to page 16, Mr. Chair, we've got the deer and bear management account for the surcharge that is on deer and bear licenses. The waterfowl habitat improvement account for the waterfowl stamp, the pheasant habitat improvement account for pheasant stamps, the wild turkey management account for the wild turkey stamp, wild turkey license sales. And then you'll see on on the bottom of page 16. Mr. Mueller went through this in his spreadsheet. This is money from the Heritage Enhancement Account and the Game and Fish Fund for grants to Let's Go Fishing to promote opportunities for fishing. And there are a number of conditions on this. This is the same language that was used back in 2007 for this same program, including a reporting requirement and work plan that will be looked at by the Budgetary Oversight Committee. And then, on again, we have this provision on dealing with grants and contracts, basically exempting them from 16.8.28 as long as they get them paid by 2014. Then we'll move into enforcement. And we have the water recreation account. That's boat and water safety. That's a base appropriation. Snowmobile trails and enforcement account, base appropriation. The heritage enhancement account, the game and fish fund, some of that money goes towards enforcement. That's, again, a base rider. The rider on the top of page 18, we dealt with that in another place, so it doesn't need to be here. So 18.1 to 18.6 should not be in the bill draft. 18.7, that's for the off-highway vehicle enforcement grants to local governments, to counties, and that's, again, a base rider. Starts in 18.7, 18.23, 18.24, and so on. That's the to assist in the safety, environmental education, and monitoring of trails under the ambassador program. That's, again, a base rider starting on 18.24. And then we'll go on page 19. We'll go into operation support. The first rider is, again, a base rider dealing with it's to the other zoos, the lottery and loo money. It goes to three zoos, the Minnesota Zoo, Como Zoo, and the Duluth Zoo. These are the two zoos that we do not appropriate money directly to. So it's done through the DNR with grants. And that's so that's the rider in 1911 to 1918. And then in 1919 to 1926, this was a governor's rec, and I'm not sure how much of this we're going to be doing. Again, that'll be for Mr. Mueller and I to work out between now and Tuesday as to whether and how much money will be in there. And then on 19.29 to 19.35, we're now into Bowser. That's, again, a base rider in Bowser. That's their block grants to local units of government. Starting at 20.9, you'll see these are base grants for conservation, soil and water conservation districts. They're general purpose and non-point engineering grants. On 20.24, these are the base grants. This is, again, a base amount for the grants to soil and water conservation districts for cost-sharing contracts. The bottom rider is also a base rider dealing with the county cooperative weed management programs. And then on 21.4 to 21.11, this is where the legislature in the past has given Bowser some flexibility to shift cost-share funds based on the ability to leverage. And so that's included here. It's been included in the past. 21.12 to 21.14 is the enforcement of the Wetland Conservation Act. And then the next riders also, these are all base riders, again, also for monitoring. 21.23, that's a base rider dealing with the assistance to drainage, local drainage management officials, including the cost of the drainage work group. And then on 21.26, we have the money for the Red River Basin Commission. On 21.33, we have money to the Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, also known as the Minnesota River Board. And then, Mr. Chairman, on 22.4, we have the Area 2 Minnesota River Basin projects. And then, again, we have a rider on 22.8 to 22.12 that allows Bowser flexibility to move money from either year when money is insufficient, if there's a need out there. It gives them some flexibility in moving some of their grant money around. Now we get into the Metropolitan Council, and those, again, are just base riders. Mr. Mueller went over the appropriations from the general fund and from the lottery and loo money. That's the second rider. The Minnesota Conservation Corps starts on the bottom of page 22, and you'll see, as Mr. Mueller pointed out, we have money just from the Natural Resources Fund. And we have the base rider that says that they have to have an agreement with the Commissioner of Natural Resources before expending money from the Natural Resources Fund. And then the Zoological Board, that's a base rider dealing with the that's where they get their revenue from the lottery. The riders, where they get the money from the lottery in lieu of sales tax. And then, Mr. Chairman, we'll go on to the statutory provisions. And what we have here in Section 9 is from Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. In the exchange, we heard this just the other day. Also, Section 10 is from Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. Section 11 on page 24, this is a governor's recommendation on that Forest for the Future conservation easement account. This is, again, the governor's recommendation on basically transferring the $750,000 that was appropriated in 2009 to this account, and then they would use the interest to pay for their easement stewardship costs. Section 12 is from Senate File 567, Senator Miller, dealing with the non-resident off-road vehicle state trail pass. And again, just to note, that was amended in committee on 25.8. It does say shall appoint agents. And then Section 13, that's again from Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692, and it has to do with the using the ELS or electronic method of providing some of the off-highway vehicle education, or ATV education, I think it is. And Mr. Chairman, on Section 14, that's the provision Mr. Mueller mentioned. Excuse me. Mr. Mueller mentioned where in the past we did $725,000 for a limited 2 years. Now this will be an ongoing $1 million a year from the Water Recreation account into the Invasive Species account. And, Mr. Chairman, the next section, Section 15, is also from Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. And then same with the next two, the regional trails and the trail connections, were both heard in Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. Section 18 that starts at the bottom is the part of the governor's recommendation where we're going to allow them to spend more than $25,000 per fiscal year out of that account. It's from the gross receipts of sales, rentals, and leases of natural resources within state parks and recreation areas. Section 19, this is from Senate File 43, Senator Sparks' bill. We heard that a week or two ago. And there's a missing section here that I'll make sure again. And Senator Hall's bill had two sections dealing in 86B, and somehow one was dropped and fell through the cracks along the way. But we'll make sure we get that one in, too. Section 20 is also from Senator Hall's bill. And again, there's a matching section that goes with that that we'll make sure it gets in. The next section, Section 21, is the Forest Management Investment Account Cost Certification. And this is, again, from a governor's recommendation on dealing with that certification when they do forestry work in in state parks or in wildlife management areas. And the next one deals with the Forest Management Investment Account that allows for the money that's transferred in. There is a mistake on 29.19. We should be deleting the new language and reinstating the stricken language on 29.19. As the spreadsheet pointed out, we're not going to a statutory appropriation for this account. And Mr. Chairman, the same is true on Section 23. It's a governor's recommendation. The money will be deposited in the Natural Resources Fund, but it shouldn't be appropriate annual. So on 30.15, we should strike everything between fund and period, so there will not be an appropriation. Section 24 and 25, dealing with the Minerals Management or Mineral Coordinating Committee, and these are both in Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. And then, Mr. Chairman, the Peace Officer Training Account, this is the recommendation of the governor on how to deal with that account from the surcharge that's placed for Peace Officer Training, the portion that goes to DNR. And then, Mr. Chairman, on the certified costs, again, this is in the Game and Fish Fund on Section 27. This is a governor's recommendation. The Citizen Oversight Committees, an amendment to Senator Hall's bill, Senate File 692. And this is what some people refer to as the Budgetary Oversight Committee. And so those are the changes that were offered in the amendment to Senator Hall's bill. And it includes the extension to 2015 on page 33. And then, Mr. Chairman, we also have Section 29 is from Senate File 678, Senator Gazelka. Senate File 30 is from Senate File 442, Senator Bach. Section 31 is from Senate File 259, Senator Saxhog, allowing a scope with a muzzleloader, and that was amended in committee to remove the magnification limitations. Senate File 32, this is part of the removal of deer stand restriction heights, and this is from Senator Bach, Senate File 438, and this would remove it in the deer stand, and there's some repealers later that deal with it for elk and moose. Section 33, this we heard this in committee, Senate File 58, Senator Kubley. This was as it was amended. Senator Skoy had an amendment, and I just point out it's that first sentence in the amendment. This may be the first chance some of you have seen it after it was crafted. Portable deer stands may be erected in wildlife management areas the day prior to use and left unattended from 1/2 hour after sunset to 1/2 hour before sunrise. And so that was the big difference. It was more extensive. They were able to leave it up throughout the season. This would say that they can leave it attended during the night, but they have to be there during the day when it's up. Otherwise, they have to take it down. And basically, the rest of it's the remaining language and how that all works. And then, Mr. Chairman, Section 34 is from Senator Box. Senate File 443 on limitation of bear hunters. That was amended in committee. Section 35 is from the chair's bill. Senator Ingebrigtsen was also amended on the removal of beaver. And we heard that in committee a while back. Section 36 is another of Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill. It's it's dealing with the limitation on experimental and special management waters for northern pike. And then Section 37 is a governor's recommendation on the water management account. Mr. Mueller went over that. That's the $10 million that's now going to be put into this account and spent out of this account rather than through the general fund. Section 38 is also related to that. That's where the money is going to be credited to the water management account from the fees for the water appropriation permits. Section 39 is also related to that and deals with the fees for other water permits. And then we get to Section 40, and Mr. Mueller mentioned this when he went through it. This is where currently all of the money recovered by the Pollution Control Agency for civil penalties is going to the Environmental Fund. Now this says that 1/2 of the money recovered will be, and the remaining amount collected shall be deposited in the General Fund. Section 41, now there are a number of sections here dealing with the e-waste program, and what it does is get rid of some language that's not needed anymore, because now we're going to credit to the Environmental Fund and do a direct appropriation rather than a statutory appropriation. So there's just a number of changes you'll see on 39, 40, and 41 that are all their governor's recommendations, and they're just making some technical changes to that to go along with the change in the direct to the direct appropriation. I guess that would continue on to page 42 and page 43. Now, Mr. Mueller mentioned that Section 43 is also in the Commerce Bill, but we're spending some of that money in here, so I put the repealer in here. There's no problem with it being in both bills, because if it passed in both bills, although these bills may get combined at some time, too, in the future. But I put it here because some of the money is being spent also in this bill, and without that extension, you wouldn't have the money in the bill to spend it. And, Mr. Chairman, we'll move on to Section 44. That's a governor's recommendation on that. The fee, Mr. Mueller mentioned this earlier, it's for those complicated financial assurance mechanisms. You can see the language on page 45 and 45.16. And it raises a small amount for the agency they reimburse them for their review. Section 45 is the feedlot permitting. And Mr. Mueller mentioned the spreadsheet. There's some money appropriated for this. And again, that was in that was also in Senate File 42 as it passed this committee, Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill earlier this session. And that's the same. That goes all the way through to page 48. And again, Section 46 was also in that Senate File 42 as it passed this committee. Section 47. Now, here we got two sections that also deal with that transfer. If the transfer is going to happen, these will be in here. Thank you. If the transfer is not going to happen, then they'll be taken out before next Tuesday. That's the transfer of the EQB over to the PCA. Section 49 is the Rosenbill, as it was amended in committee the other day, Senate File 435, and it has to do with mandatory environmental assessment worksheets for ethanol plants. And, Mr. Chairman, then we can go over to Section 51, and that has to do with Senator Cruz's bill, Senate File 39. And that basically undoes the 2009 changes to the critical areas requiring rulemaking. And you'll see a section later that is clear about getting rid of the rulemaking. And this is as it passed this committee, and it also has passed government and Blaino's passed finance. Mr. Chairman, and then Sections 51 is from your bill, Senate File 675, dealing with the cybers program. We heard the other day that did go on to the judiciary. Section 52 deals with this is where the surcharge money goes into that peace officer training account. This was a governor's recommendation. And so that that matches up with the account that was created earlier. And Mr. Chairman, the silencer provision that was in your bill, also 675, is in here. Section 54, the Coon Rapids Dam Commission, that was Senator Cruz and Senate File 759 you heard the other day. And, Mr. Chairman, Section 55, this was Senator Peterson's bill dealing with the phosphorus standards on Lake Pepin that we heard earlier this year. Section 56 is from Senate File 304, Senator Gazelka, on the Memorial Bridge. And we have the Mississippi River Management Plan, Senate File 333, Senator Limmer. The rulemaking provision, this is the one, it's talking about Senate File 39, Senator Cruz, to make it clear that the rulemaking does not continue for the critical area. Section 59 is the rulemaking on Spearing and Cass Lake. That was Senator Carlson, Senate File 138. The state nursery closure sale, that was Senate File 364, Senator Peterson. That was amended in committee. Section 61 is the water rulemaking moratorium for Senator Peterson's bill, Senate File 196, as is the study that follows.
With that, I'll ask, is there any questions so far? Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Knopf, on Section 58, that rulemaking, I thought that rulemaking authority had already expired. Is it necessary to put this in here, being as how that already expired? Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, I think most of us think it's expired, but some people still want to fight it and to try to make an argument that it's not. This would make it abundantly clear.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions so far before we go into Article 2?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I should go over the repealers quickly here.
Sure.
The first one, 84.780, that's the off-highway vehicle damage account. The next one is that wayside area that was in Senate File 692. And then the 89 repealers, the 89.06, 0.35, those were all in Senator Peterson's Senate File 364, dealing with the state tree nurseries. And then the next two on 97B511 and it's a 515 subdivision 3, those are Senator Bach's Senate File 438. Those are the height restrictions for moose and elk. And the 116G.15 repealer of those subdivisions, that was from Senator Cruz's Senate File 39 dealing with the Mississippi River critical area. That's it. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't know how you want to go through the Article 2. If you want Mr. Mueller to go through the spreadsheet first, and then I can point out some language.
You, Mr. Mueller?
Mr.
We'll wait until we get the thing spread, handed out here.
Mr. Chairman, the spreadsheet that's being passed out is just a spreadsheet that the LCCMR sent over to me, and I've just modified it a little bit to shrink it down. It shows the LCCMR appropriations that are in Article 2 of this bill, as were discussed in recently in the LCCMR with the changes that are proposed. Mostly in the new funding is in the very last part of the spreadsheet under emerging issues. Page 5 of the spreadsheet. So I'm not going to go through each appropriation on the spreadsheet that's already discussed in the LCCMR bill. I will point out the new ones that are probably to focus on here, the emerging issues, $100,000 per year, Minnesota Conservation Apprentice Academy, the $1 million appropriation, line 8B, this is for the wild rice and sulfide study at the PCA. Again, this replaced, the governor had proposed using $1.5 million of general fund money for this. 8C, chronic wasting disease and animal health, $600,000 per year. The governor had proposed about, I forget,
$950
per year.
Excuse
out
me,
of the
Mr.
general
Miller,
fund.
Maybe you'd want to be sure and folks understand $1 million doesn't quite cover the 1.5, where the other 5 would be coming from, at least proposal. That's Clean Water Fund, right?
Mr. Chairman, yes. When we get to discussions of the Clean Water Bill, I think we'll bring that,
that
up then. Line 8D, this would be appropriating $1.9 million in fiscal year 12 and $3.686 in fiscal year 13 to the DNR for their aquatic invasive species program prevention.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Oh, line 8D on page 5.
On the spreadsheet?
Yep.
Yeah, we went right to the, I'm sorry.
We went to,
right
the, to the, we went to
issues,
the end.
The rest of the, I'm sorry, Senator Gazelka.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mueller, so that 8D, that's in addition to the general fund money we have through various parts, so this is in addition to that. Right.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and other money from the Water Rec account and things. I have a spreadsheet here I can pass out that shows all spending that we're getting from all the different sources for aquatic invasive species. When you count this money in the Senate proposal and all the other sources, we're a few thousand or $100,000 above what the governor was proposing for invasive species, with him using boat fees as main source of funding. In the Senate, we've been able to cobble together a different package to get a little bit above what the governor was proposing for invasive species.
Any questions on that? Thanks. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the last one here under emerging issues is the Coon Rapids Dam, that $442,000. There's a language in Article 1 dealing with the setup of the commission, and then this was the money that was attached to that, but the funding is coming from the LCC, the Environmental Trust Fund, which is in Article 2. Again, I'm not going to go through all the appropriations. The rest of these are all part of the original LCCMR appropriation, and it takes out the ones that were moved to be taken out of the bill to fund these emerging issues areas.
Any further questions? Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, just so people know, the LCCMR did not vote to take these out.
Right. I can make that very clear.
Let's make that very clear.
Certainly. Good point. To that point, members, myself and Senator Higgins, along with Senator Skoy, spent, I guess, the last 3 weeks with LCCMR.
Every night it felt like.
Yeah, every night. Yeah, till 10 o'clock every night. And to understand understand the process, the LCCMR has already gone through the RFPs, and again, Senator Higgins, correct me if I'm wrong, but went through RFPs of many projects that were put forward to the Citizens Committee. And the Citizens Committee did a lot of work over the last year and a half to 2 years to put this bill together. And our counterparts on the House and ourselves went over to the LCCMR, who now are on the LCCMR by way of last election, by way of default, I guess you would say. We're on those committees. We went over there to talk to them, and Senator Higgins is right. The amount of dollars that were taken out of there, and I think it's right around 20% of the total dollars that are expended for the upcoming biennium were diverted to the invasive species, what we call emerging issues on this document. So that's how those dollars were transferred. And again, that was not voted upon by the whole group. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair,
please proceed.
If you want to go back to your document, I'm not, again, as Mr. Mueller pointed out, I don't think I'll need to go through all the Minnesota Resources Appropriations, but I will just point out that if you look, starting in the bottom of page 78, that's where you'll see the language for the emerging issues appropriations.
I'm sorry, you said 78.
Bottom of page 78. And you can see the language for that. And then a couple other things I want to point out is that there also is about a 10% reduction to the LCCMR itself on page 80. There's about $120,000 that was taken out that was recommended originally by LCCMR. And here now it's actually used for the St. Croix project instead of the commission itself. So that's in there. I want to make sure people know about that. And then there's also there's a piece added here on page 89, and this is something I've worked with House staff on this. And when we saw the Lessard-Sams bill, there was a provision dealing with easement monitoring and enforcement requirements. And it wasn't similar language in the LCCMR bill. Well, some people have gotten a little bit nervous about that. For a number of years now, money has been, Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund money has been placed in accounts within certain entities, and then the money then is used for the kind of the stewardship or the monitoring and enforcement of those easements. And there was a concern that it was never highlighted in the law itself. It was part of their work plan. So what this does is similar to the Lessard-Sams, is it creates this easement monitoring. It basically spells out the requirements and basically allows for the state to claw back funds if they're not being used appropriately. And then also related to that then is subdivision 19. I do have an amendment that for the Lessard-Sams bill where they're also going to be doing something similar, although it won't be quite as extensive because they haven't had quite the history. But there's a number of previous appropriations where the amount of money that was to be placed in those monitoring enforcement accounts is spelled out. And so you see in subdivision 19, there have been a number of appropriations where money is used for monitoring enforcement. And this makes it very clear that they have to follow what's in subdivision 18 with the money. This allows for a better audit trail and a better way of making sure that everybody's understanding, and also that it's in the law and not just in the work program. So I just wanted to make sure that people understood that this is in here also. This is all of these were, I think, to the Minnesota Land Trust. I think there may be a few to Ducks Unlimited that we may need to add. I've had some discussions with Mr. Heininger from the Ducks Unlimited that we may need to add some of those to this list of items also. But this is just to make sure that everybody's clear and we've got it in the law that this is how this money was going to be spent.
Any questions about that?
Yeah, I'm done.
Could I have you go back to page number 34 and start over? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. That was an extensive, a lot of work there by staff, and as usual, quite clear, I think, for everybody to understand. Are there any questions? Senator Kielash, I'm
sorry. Mr. Mueller, and Mr. Chair, Mr. Mueller, I'm just wondering, because obviously this is extensive, what's the increase in PILT payments going to be required from the DNR for these purchases, et cetera?
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, first off, we're not tracking PILT not anymore in this committee. It's over in the tax committee, so I haven't looked at it yet. But I don't know the number of acquisitions in the LCCMR or in the Environmental Trust Fund part of the bill, and I'll check with that. In the Article 1, there's definitely no change to any PILT payments. Actually, the selling off the state nurseries actually saves a little PILT money. couple few thousand dollars. And I'll check with the LCCMR staff on Article 2 about the number of acquisitions in that part of the bill. And whether it certainly wouldn't be on the level of what we're seeing with the Lessard Sams. There's not near as much acquisition in Article 2 under LCCMR as what is in Lessard Sams.
Mr. Chair, so if I understand this right, we get to buy land and the tax committee gets to pay
for the taxes. Senator Kelash, that's certainly a point of interest and a point of discussion and even almost to the point of aggravation, I think, throughout the whole 201 legislators. And I think we have to be very clear about that. I think the Lessard Sams, now it's been a while since we did the presentation or had the bill through here, but I think the PILT obligation from the acquisition there is right in that $125,000 range. However, we'll make sure on Tuesday that we have those funds so everybody knows what they are for all the accounts.
Mr. Chair, on that, isn't it close to $500,000 in PILT payments just since Lessard? Just from the Lessard Sams funds?
I think we can find that out for you. I think it's interesting, and everybody should know that.
Exactly. Every time we buy something, it costs.
Certainly. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify something. There is a part in Article 1 where we do increase PILT payments. If you look on page 15, and you'll see the rider on 15.4 to 15.9. That's the wildlife acquisition surcharge account. That actually, at least half of that money needs to go for acquiring land. They acquire wildlife management area land. And that money also, when that's acquired by the state, becomes a PILT obligation of the state. And there's also some statutory money in here that you don't see in the bill necessarily, the critical habitat, when people buy the license plates. That's money that goes out for acquisition of wildlife lands in the state, and it increases PILT.
Exactly, and that's why it needs to be clarified. So some of these accounts are taking the hit for an awful lot of other ones as well, but exactly. It is definitely an issue, and I want to be nothing but clear and make sure everybody knows what they are. But, again, they're not coming out of this account anymore because of the shift from here to there. So, yeah, you're right. We don't have to pay any more PILT, so that's kind of nice.
Mr. Chair, when does Senator Ortman get the bill for us?
We'll be sending it over right tomorrow, actually.
Mr. Chair.
I think we'll be getting a bill from her, yeah. Senator Higgins.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
On 80.15, the contract management with DNR, is that just standard LCCMR language?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, yes.
Okay. And then the other question I had is the how many of the statutory sections need to be in this bill because they have a fiscal effect, and how many of them are strictly policy and should be moved over to a Game and Fish 2, Game and Fish 3, or whatever it would be?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, there are a number of statutory provisions that need to be in this bill because they've written
the defiance.
But you're right, there are a few game and fish provisions dealing with deer stand heights and moose stand heights and those sorts of things. Senator Kubley's provision on dealing with that wouldn't necessarily need to be in this bill. There are a number of them, especially I think a number of Senator Box and Senator Kubley's provisions would be ones that would not necessarily have to be in this bill.
And Mr. Chair, I know that in previous years we have been advised to keep every piece of policy that doesn't have a fiscal effect out of our budget bills, and I would pass on that piece of advice to you and suggest that we should find another mechanism and put them all in Senator Kubley's bill or in one of Senator Bach's bills or something. Some of these are a little on the controversial side, and that makes it harder for you to pass the budget bill.
Point well taken.
And there are lots of vehicle bills that we
yeah,
would
sometimes
have
it can make it easier as well.
Mm-hmm,
and at least the 5 years that I've been here, I found out it works both ways. So I can certainly have that discussion with our leadership, seeing where we're doing with all of our budget bills, whether there's a lot of policy involved or not. But We'll take a look at it.
It makes the...
It's good advice.
I mean, there have been times in the past, and Mr. Knopf can probably tell you better than I, but when bills have been challenged in the Supreme Court on the constitutionality of having those policy pieces in with your budget, it violates the one subject rule.
Subject rule.
Yeah.
Sure. So. My goodness, we certainly don't want to get into that trouble.
Oh, Lord, no.
Any further questions? Everybody understand what's going to happen Tuesday? We'll have the same spreadsheets, and we'll be looking for amendments at that time and testimony from those that want to testify on the bill.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify that we will have kind of a cleaned-up bill, too, also. Probably numbers put in.
All right. Thank you. That'll be it for today. Stand adjourned.